السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every single one of them and to bless every single one of us and to grant us every form of goodness. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Surah Al-Shu'ara is a surah which is named after the poets. At the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were several well-known poets. Some of them used their poetry in order to say words that were hurtful to Islam and the Muslims, whilst others were using their poetry in order to support Islam and the Muslims and to teach the Muslims some of their principles or rules and regulations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned both of these types of poets, those who will be inshallah earning a reward through their poetry and those who earn a sin through their lyrics. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us goodness. May we be from amongst those who use our words in a way that it will earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can earn Jannah. Brothers and sisters, there could be one word that we utter that if Allah loves, He might grant us entry into paradise through, and He may decide not to look at anything else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good word, at least on our tongues, and may He bless us all. There is something interesting that we notice in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in many places of the Quran the story of the Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. In fact, his mention and his story takes up the most space, mentioned in the most places in the Quran, in comparison to any other of the previous prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or their stories. One thing very interesting is, and I'm sure you would know, the magicians. It is reported that there were thousands, if not tens of thousands, and perhaps even beyond. The figure was huge, of the number of magicians that came in order to engage in magic, in order to fight Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in order to combat what he came with. They thought it was magic, so they said, let's come all of us, we all have our stones and sticks, or should I say ropes and sticks, and we will throw them and everyone will think that these are serpents or snakes, and it will look similar to that of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that we are masters. So they came the morning of that day and they looked at Fir'aun, and obviously they were very happy because the leader called them. He used to call himself, called them, and what happened is they asked him, look, if we win here, because we know we're going to win, won't we be from amongst those who earn something? He said, don't worry, you will earn a lot, and I will make you some of my closest people, you know, those who are my companions or the close cronies, the top notch of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the closest to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were happy, they were excited, they came forth. Imagine, they were mushrikeen. They used to worship Fir'aun. They actually said, bi'izzati Fir'aun, by the power of Fir'aun, we are throwing this. Musa alayhi salam was saying by the power of Allah, and they were saying by the power of Fir'aun. So they were the biggest mushriks of the time. Listen very carefully. Biggest mushriks of the time. They came in the morning. In the morning they came declaring their faith to Fir'aun. And then they threw their sticks and their ropes, and Musa alayhi salam happened to put down his own stick, and it ate up everything they made, and whatever they had disappeared. Gone. Where was it? Immediately, these top magicians who knew everything about magic, they fell prostrate. They dropped to the ground with their heads right on the ground. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. They were not shy to declare that we believe in the Lord of the worlds. Because Fir'aun used to say, I am the Lord of the worlds, they made it clear to say, the Lord of the worlds, the one who is the Lord of Moses and Aaron, may peace be upon both of them, alayhim as-salam. They had automatic and immediate peace in the heart. By what? By one sajda. One prostration, not more. One. And Fir'aun tells them immediately, and this is mentioned verse number 49 of Surah Al-Shu'ara and so many other places in the Quran. He says, I warn you, who told you to believe in what he came with before I gave you permission? So he threatened them. لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I am going to cut your hands and your legs crossed. So the right hand with the left leg, or vice versa, in order to make sure that you will not be able to move on the earth. And I will crucify all of you. Do you know what they answered him? Imagine 1 minute ago, 1 minute before that, they were worshipping him. And 1 minute after that, they said, لا ضير إنا إلى ربنا منقلبون. No problem. Do what you want. We're going to return to our true Lord. You do what you want. We're going to return to our true Lord. Allahu Akbar. And they continued to say, you can do whatever you want in this world. We have to die either at your hands or we will die anyway after that. And we're not going to return to you. We're going to return to the one who made us. It took them 1 minute. One sajda, my brothers and sisters, one prostration. And they were, according to some of the narrations, they were executed the same day. So in the morning, they came fresh with their shirk. And in the afternoon, they died martyrs. Confirmed paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the type of peace they had. They were ready. Immediately they said, we're not worried. Do you know the meaning of the term la dair? No problem, nothing. No harm. Do what you want. Allahu Akbar. The question I have for myself and yourselves, brothers and sisters, these people were forgiven by Allah for one sajda that they engaged in. And subhanallah, they earned the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shouldn't we be hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We engage in so many prostrations for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have hope in His mercy. By the will of Allah, He will forgive us. We also need to be strong and we need to worship Allah alone and make sure that we don't worship like the pharaohs of today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and may He grant us ease and goodness. Look at the peace and comfort they had. They had so much peace and this was almost instantaneous. Where Allah wants to guide people, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of guidance. May He guide us all. Then the belief of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as a Nabi, and the power of it was such that when the army chased the people of Musa alayhi salam later on, some years later, and they got to the sea, and they looked, in front of them was the sea, and behind them was the army of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh. So what did the people of Musa alayhi salam said, Banu Israel? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it in verse number 61 of Surah Al-Shu'ara. فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ When the two armies saw each other, the people with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his company, his companions, they said, now we are caught. Now we are caught. The immediate and spontaneous response of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ He said, nay, never ever. With me is my Rabb. He will guide me. Subhanallah. Do we feel the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters? Do we have the conviction that when we are in a mess or a problem where it seems like there is no way out, we cry and weep to Allah, hoping with total conviction that He is the one who will solve my problem? How many of us have had problems where we thought there is no solution and suddenly a solution comes into our lives? How many of us have been in situations where we felt it's the end of the road and suddenly the road opens? Who opened the road? Allahu Akbar. It's Allah and Allah alone. Remember that. Do not forget that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us conviction. Be convinced. Call out to Him. Nothing is ever impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of another messenger, beautiful prophet known as Khalilullah. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, Ibrahim, the father of the prophets to come after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some qualities, and the reason why I mention these, When we listen to them, when we understand them, when we believe in them, we achieve automatic peace. So he was a young man. He's telling his people, I believe in my maker. The qualities of my maker are as follows. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ The one who created me, and so he shall guide me. First number 78 of the same surah. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ The one who is the owner of my food and my drink, he shall fill my belly and quench my thirst. He is the owner. I don't depend on you. Allahu Akbar. And he continues to say, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ When I am sick, the cure is in his hands. He is the one who cures me. Allahu Akbar. Look at the conviction. Young man, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحِينَ The one who is going to cause me to die, and then he will resurrect me thereafter. And powerfully, look at what he says, وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينَ The one whom I have absolute and complete hope in, that he will forgive my sin on the day of judgment. Don't we have hope? Can I tell you? We have no option but to have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and have mercy on us. And then he continues and he says, Oh Allah, keep my name good in the people to come after me. Keep it memorable. And you know, up to today in salah, we make a dua for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. To this day, how many of us are there on the globe? 2 billion plus. Imagine, 5 times a day, if we're good Muslims, may Allah grant us goodness, we are making dua for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Amazing. And he is the one who said, Oh Allah, keep me a good memory in those that are to follow. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that he sacrificed so much for Allah. And Allah kept that in a way that up to this day, we engage in Hajj and Umrah. And we engage in so many other actions that are actually rooted from the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us goodness so much so that we have a feast commemorating the great sacrifice known as Eid al-Adha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all, and may He bless together with us all the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah resurrect us with them and grant us goodness through His mercy. Perhaps we don't deserve it, but the mercy of Allah, nothing is impossible when we look at it. Ameen. So brothers and sisters, look at what he says. He says, Oh Allah, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبَعَثُونَ Don't embarrass me the day you resurrect me. Don't embarrass me, Ya Allah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ Do not embarrass me the day you resurrect me, Ya Allah, on that day when no wealth and no children will be of any use or any benefit. Not at all, besides he who has a sound heart. What is a sound heart? A clean heart, free of all sickness and ailment, free of association, of partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a sound heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a sound heart. Ameen. So this is part and parcel of what was said by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's important for us to learn that the conviction that these messengers had, even if we have a fraction of it, inshallah, we will have so much hope. Life will be made so easy. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely we are going to return to Him. Definitely, without a doubt. Some young age, some slightly older, some very old age. But there is nobody who can say, you know what, I'm going to live for 150 years. In our midst, I don't know of anyone, to be honest with you, who has lived for 150 years in our history, in our generations. Perhaps we might have heard of 114, but maybe maximum a little bit more than that, not more. But the average age is between 60 and 70. How old are you? Ask yourself. Few more days to go. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us the day we go. No need to be frightened about it, but to be concerned about it. There is a big difference between the two. You're frightened about to die. You're concerned about it, you prepare for it, and you have hope in Allah. So let's be concerned. We prepare and we have hope in Allah. Like we say, splash your page with istighfar. All over. Every few sentences that are written on your page, Astaghfirullah, Oh Allah, forgive me. A while later, Oh Allah, forgive me. 100 times a day, Oh Allah, forgive me. Wallahi. Good news for the one upon whose page lots of istighfar is splashed upon. That's the wording I'm using. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Then we have Surah An-Naml. And I want to just draw one point from Surah An-Naml. An-naml, speaking about the ants, or the ant, right? That ant which was so concerned for the rest of the ants, that if the Muslims had to have similar concern, we would not be facing the challenges we are facing today on the globe as an ummah. One ant was so concerned about the rest that when it saw the Prophet Solomon, may peace be upon him, come with his entire army, do you know what the ant said? It made of the ants, saying, "Oh ants, you'd better go back into your homes because you don't want Sulaiman and his army just trampling over you." And Allah had bestowed upon Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam the ability to comprehend, understand and communicate with other creatures of Allah, including the ants. So he heard what the ants said and he smiled. He smiled at it in a way that he was like laughing. He was so happy that Allah had bestowed upon him that which Allah had not bestowed upon anybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Allahu Akbar. It's like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inni la'arifu hajaran bi makkata kana yusallimu alayhi." He says, "I know a stone in Makkah that used to greet me even before I was a prophet. It used to say, 'Assalamu alaykum.'" That was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's miracle, where he was greeted even by the stones and the rocks. Allahu Akbar. So Sulaiman alayhi salam had the ability from Allah to speak to the ants. So when he understood it, he thanked Allah. Do you know how he thanked? We learn this dua and we make it by the will of Allah, we will have a lot of peace and comfort, and we will be from amongst those whom Allah will grant much, much more. Brothers and sisters, it is raining outside, and beautiful, hard, solid rain, as you can hear. This is the time of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend a moment asking Allah's forgiveness. Wallahi, one of the times of acceptance of dua is when the rain is falling. Especially when it is beautiful rain. Ya Allah, forgive us, grant us mercy and goodness, and make us from amongst those who enter paradise without reckoning. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the love, and Ya Allah, help those suffering across the globe, and never make us from amongst those who fight each other and kill each other when we are sharing the shahada. Ameen. So brothers and sisters, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah says in verse number 19 of Surah An-Naml, فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا. He smiled because of the statement of that particular ant. And you know what he says? وَقَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي. He said, "Oh my Rabb, grant me the ability." Grant me the ability to do what? أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ. The ability to be thankful upon your gifts that you have granted me. So give me the ability to be thankful. He's obviously very thankful through his deeds, but he's saying, "Ya Allah, grant me the ability to be completely thankful for your gift upon me." An ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. That which you have blessed me with and my parents with. You must remember, Sulaiman was the son of Dawood. Dawood, David, may peace be upon him. When he used to engage in tasbih, subhanallah, the birds and the mountains and the trees used to engage in tasbih in chorus with him. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Imagine what type of a man he must have been. When he says, "Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar," entire creation is saying that with him. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us as well. So Dawood was the father. Sulaiman was the son. You know, one day a young boy told me, "How do I remember who was the father and who was the son?" I told him, "Very simple, son. You know, D is for dad, Dawood. And S, Sulaiman, for son. He was the son." Allahu Akbar. So that's quite easy to remember, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us ease. See the little youngsters there smiling, mashallah. Allah bless us and open our doors and grant us good children as well. And protect the children of the ummah and use them to spread the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the drugs and the alcohol and the gambling and the casinos and all the sin that is out there. May Allah protect our offspring and grant them purity. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he said, "Grant me the ability to be thankful to you for the favors you've granted me and to my parents." نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ. Then he says, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. Grant me the ability to do good deeds that you shall be pleased with. Deeds that will please you, O Allah. Grant me the ability to do that. We all need to not rely solely on our energies. Make dua to Allah. He will grant us the acceptance. He will open our doors. No matter how lazy you are, continue making dua with conviction and work towards it. Even if you work one inch towards it, Allah will open your doors. You know why? Because Allah says, "Man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwala." Whoever comes to me walking, I come to him rushing. Whoever comes to me a hand span, I come to him an entire foot. So Allah comes to us faster and quicker than we can ever come to him. The minute we try 1 inch, wallahi, he will come open the doors. They will be flung open completely, and yet we only try. This is why we always say, do not underestimate the mercy of Allah. He loves every one of us. And if you try even a little inch, wallahi, the doors will open. You need dedication and conviction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all, and may He make us feel His mercy, and may He make us feel His happiness upon us. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the last part of that dua, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and grant me entry into the circle of the pious people, those who are worshippers of yours, who are pious. Make me from amongst those who are good, who are righteous. May Allah grant us all righteousness, and may Allah bless us. This was the man who spoke to that ant, after which the entire surah is named. An-Naml, the ant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Then we move on to the next surah, Al-Qasas. Al-Qasas, the stories of Musa alayhi salam. In this surah, the most detail is mentioned of the story of the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him. And I'd like to mention a few points of peace that we derive from the surah. One is, do you know, the mother of Musa alayhi salam gave birth. And when she gave birth, that was the year that the Pharaoh was executing the children of Banu Israel. So she had to hide the child. And she was worried. Her peace in her heart would have not been there had it not been for Allah to inspire her. We will look after this child. We will make him a messenger. And at the same time, we will ensure that we return him to you. We are instructing you. If you fear in your heart, just lay him in the river. We will take care. So Allah says, we granted her that goodness. She was at peace. And she placed the child when she was a little bit concerned, as we had instructed her. So Allah says after that, verse number 13 of Surah Al-Qasas, beautiful. Allah says,
فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقُّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
We returned him thereafter to his mother in order for the coolness of her eyes, in order for her to achieve the coolness of her eyes, and in order for her to know that our promise to her was indeed the truth. But many people do not know. When Allah promises you and I, wallahi, the promise is the truth. If Allah could return a child, if Allah could return a child back to his mother after promising the mother that we will return the child, and the situation or the scenario would be such that me and you would have thought this is impossible. Remember, for Allah, nothing is impossible. If He did that, He can do anything for any one of us. This is why at the end of the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him,
إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ.
Indeed, the one who has revealed the Quran upon you is going to return you to Makkah one day. He was returned to Makkah, victory of Makkah. Allahu Akbar. And one of the meanings is, he will give you the paradise. May Allah grant us all paradise with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah promised to return Musa to his mother. May peace be upon them. And he did it. And Allah promised to return Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Makkah. And he did it. And Allah promises us all paradise. He will do it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant that to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of something now that is important for every one of us. We are either working or we have employed someone. Some of us might be sitting still looking for a job. May Allah make it easy for you. Never fall into a category where you're neither working, nor have you employed people, nor are you looking for a job, and you're just sitting and wasting time. May Allah not do that to us. May we be from amongst those really who work hard. Ameen. So Allah says that Musa alayhi salam got to a place known as Madian. And he noticed there were a lot of people with their flocks of sheep. They were trying to give water to the sheep. And he noticed two young women with their sheep, quite a lot of sheep. And they were not going forward because there were a lot of men. He asked them, what is it with you? Why are you not going forth? to give water to your sheep? And they responded, you know what? They are all these men. When they all go away, and then we'll get a moment to actually do it. So he offered help. With utmost respect, very trustworthy, total dignity, he says, look, let me assist. And he was a Nabi of Allah. He was a powerful man. You know, the sifa or the description of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he was huge. He was big. He was not so fair in complexion, but he had a nice big beard, mashallah. And he was a strong man. Imagine he gave one fist to this man and the man was gone. May Allah protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from amongst those who bounce around, because we are not Nabis of Allah who have been instructed to box people. May Allah protect us. So remember this. Allahu Akbar. He took hold of all those sheep and in no time they were granted the water and they went back home. When they went back home, the father says, hey, what happened? So they explained the story. They gave it to him. They said, there was a man. This is what happened. And he said, go and call him. Imagine how sharp this father is. How many of us can think for our daughters quicker than they can themselves? Today it's the other way around. Your daughter comes to you and says, dad, I found someone. Before that, you as a father supposed to say, you know what? Really, we found someone great. So when he heard about it, he heard from the girls themselves. Sometimes you might hear from your daughter something about someone. Wallahi, look at what happened here. He immediately got up. He says, go and call the man. He was an old man. And so when they called him, he heard the story and he understood this man is righteous. He is honest. He is hardworking. Look at what one of the daughters did. Because now Shu'aib alayhi salam, according to the narrations, it was the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, he was now old. He could not take the sheep on his own. It was going to be a permanent job for the girls. So they realized there is a man here who is powerful and mashallah, he did such a brilliant job. He has utmost respect. He's so trustworthy. It's reported that his gaze did not fall on them. In fact, he kept on looking down. And even when he spoke to them, it is reported that so much dignity, they were impressed. MashaAllah. Obviously, he was doing it for the sake of Allah. But obviously, people notice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Today, you come to the masjid 5 times a day. You notice the lads in the masajid, mashaAllah. You see them, greet them, mashaAllah. One might just be a husband to your daughter, or to your sister, perhaps, or to your divorced mother. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yes, we have to say, today we have a stigma in society where people look at those divorced and they think, no, this is no-go area. You know, they'll tell you, hey, how old are you, man? You know what, I've got a son for you. And then you end up telling them your age and everything, and then after a while they find out you were divorced. They say, no, sorry man, we'll go for someone else. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us not only by statement, but by his own actions, where he looked out for those who were divorced. Who said that they are people or they are women who are doomed or men who are doomed? No. If anything, they have more experience. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. You know, they say once bitten, twice shy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Really. My brothers and sisters, let's open our minds and hearts. Look out for your sisters, for your mothers sometimes if they are divorced. Sometimes for your daughters and for your close relatives, wallahi, do not be shy to suggest something if it is based on the deen. So look at what this man does. This is a pearl of peace, because we don't have peace in our homes. We couldn't be bothered about our sisters and mothers and our daughters and anyone else. And we just think, you know what, I'm living my own life. Dad is having an affair and others are having affairs and that's it. So what happens? There comes a time when daughter's also having an affair. This is the sad condition and reality. Let's learn a lesson. This is why we don't have peace on the globe. Because we don't know why to marry, who to marry. And nobody's helping one another. You are a man. You're supposed to get up. And you're supposed to be helping the women who are under your authority. You make it easy for them to get married. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and open our doors. So this man says, he heard his daughter. And this is verse number 26. قالت إحداهما يا أبت استأجره إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. One of the daughters said, oh my father, why don't you employ him? The best person you could ever employ is one who is hardworking and honest. One who is strong and he's honest. Pause there for a moment. Brothers and sisters, if you have these two qualities, you are hardworking and honest, you will go very far in life. If you lack one of the two, you will not go anywhere. If you are a very honest person, but 11 o'clock you're sleeping, you're not going to go far. Believe me,
If you're very honest, but you only get up at night, you're not going to really go very far in life. If you're honest and you can get up early in the morning and sweat whole day, wallahi, you'll go very far in life, in the dunya and in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us both these qualities. Whenever you're looking for someone for your own workplace, look for these two qualities. These were the qualities of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that were noticed by Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And therefore, as a result, she proposed to marry someone 15 years younger. And against all odds, he accepted the proposal. They were married. Where are those who say, na'udhu billah, that he was a womanizer? In the peak of his age, he married someone who was 15 years older. And he lived with her for so many years, and he had all his children through her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his age. When he married the others, he was well over 50. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May He open our doors of understanding. So listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here. We've made mention of these two qualities and the importance of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the man, when he heard this, not only did he offer a job to Musa alayhi salam, but he says, Inni uridu an unkihaka ihda banatayya hatayn. How about getting married to one of these two daughters of mine? I'd like you to marry one of these two daughters of mine. Come work for me for a few years. No problem. You don't have anything. You can work for me for 8 years. From this we learn a lot. A lot. Subhanallah. And I'm going to press a red button today. So please excuse me. Today, sometimes the young man might not be that wealthy. So the woman or the girl's family is very wealthy. People look at it as an insult to be looked after by your father-in-law. What's wrong? Here it is. The Prophet Musa, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to, was looked after by his father-in-law for 10 years. For 10 years. Did anyone insult him? Did that make him lose his status? So where are we? The culture of ours drags us to the ground, wallahi. And people look at us, there is a stigma attached to a young man who lives with his in-laws. So what? Nurun ala nur, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. No problem. May Allah bless us and may He make the parents of the girls who are wealthy open their minds. So if your son-in-law needs looking after, look after him. If your wealth is not going to go into your own progeny, where is it going to go? As it is, she will inherit from you when you die. Why don't you use it during her lifetime? At least you get a good name and reputation. They will say, Dad, never a cent, but when he died, we got 3 million, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Really, it's a stigma. So look at this man. He went out to propose. This is another stigma. People say, no, a girl must sit at home. Relax, wait. Wait for the ceiling to open and your groom to pop down from there, mashallah. And he'll have a white horse and mashallah, the stallion will come. Wallahi, these are dreams, my brothers and sisters. Dreams. That white horse, I think none of us have had it. Not one. So remember, there is no harm in the girl's side asking for the marriage from the boy's side. No harm. Not at all. In fact, the prophets of Allah, there are several examples that we can give you. And even the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time. Wallahi, today they consider it an insult. This is the cultural shackles that we have. We need to break loose of them in order to achieve peace. Brothers and sisters, look out. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Allah. Be active. Remember, when you want something, dua, together with dua, you need to act. If you just make dua and say, Ya Allah, grant me this, grant me that, Allah says, I will grant you. But you play a role that we have granted you the ability to play. Why are you not playing it? May Allah open our doors and grant us goodness. We've already clocked 34 minutes, so inshallah we will talk about it again inshallah tomorrow. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.